Bringing greetings this morning from Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. Thanksgiving season. Along with that comes harvest time, has been harvest time. One of my most favorite songs in our church hymnal is Come Ye Thankful People Come. I like it because it tells a story. It tells a story of things safely gathered in. It starts out with a spiritual sense or in the natural world. And then goes to the spiritual sense. Come ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter wind storms begin. God our maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast. But the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thy angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. We still farm a little bit at our place. On Saturdays and in between after getting home from work. We didn't chop any silage this year for our steers. It got too dry. And when it was ready, we were in South Dakota. And anyway, I said, well, we're going to pick it this year. Back to your corn chop for the steers. And so 6 acres of corn, that's not very much, is a Palmar. That's just a corner of the field, 6 acres. And, the old corn picker hadn't worked for a while, so we needed to get it ready. And I remember when we finally did get it together, Philip says, wow, it actually works. And Andy needed help or something to move a furnace. And we're going to pick one or two rows before we go over there to help Andy. We're going to, wow, this thing actually works. And it did. And we've had a couple breakdowns, but it's sort of a joy to open up a field and go through and see all that golden yellow ears coming up the and now no, I have a number 7 new idea corn picker. So this thing was made in the 1930s, and people planted corn back then different than they did now. Back then it was 36 inch rows, and the stalks were a lot farther apart now, so you can't go very fast because the corn just bunches up, and you gotta go slow and steady, but it's faster than picking by hand. And you're looking back, you're going through the field, and oh, it's just like, oh, this corn, the wagon's filling up fast. And oh, there goes an ear down on the floor. Oh, that one's lost, unless I get off. And but if I got off and picked up every ear that I, yeah, but I, oh, there's an ear, I should. So, I mean, some Philip was running the picker, and I'd walk behind with the wagon, and it really wasn't, didn't lose a whole lot, but every once in a while, there was an ear lost. And I, boy, unless you pick it up, unless you take time, get off the tractor and go pick it up, it's lost. But then the deer come along and glean it. I have lots of deer. The harvest. And I was thinking of the corn being brought in. And I'm thinking of people. Jesus is referred to as the Lord of the harvest. One time he told his disciples, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he send that there would be workers to gather in. So I invite your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13 is full of parables, stories that Jesus told. And so we want to look at this parable this morning of the wheat and the tares, in which this song is based upon, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou now see so good seed in your field? From whence hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 34 gives a little explanation about Jesus' use of parables. Invite your attention there. It says, All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. A little word about parables. A parable, simply stated, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable compares that the unfamiliar to the familiar. And Jesus was a master storyteller, and stories hold our attention very, very well. This is in committee meeting Monday night in our Bible school, and you know, a lot of our time, we're thinking about a year ahead. We're thinking about the topics of Winter Bible School 2024. Yeah. And one of the titles had to do with stories. But some of us wanted, like, the word accounts. And so there was a division among us. Which word should we use? Accounts? The account of or the story of? And I still like the word story. Story. Stories hold our attention. Stories are real life things. And Jesus told real life stories. He told about winds and storms and hens upon her nests. And he talked about the grain of a mustard seed and leaven and dough and fishes and nets and children asking for bread and soils and hearts. And in this case, tares and wheat. In Matthew chapter 13, you notice each of these parables begins, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Now, I'm indebted to Harold Martin in pointing out this to me. The kingdom of heaven represents in the broad realm of religious profession, and that includes the saved and the lost alike. When you have a saying or a story about the kingdom of God, it speaks of God's rule over a person who has a real interchange. So that's a difference that I was thinking about. That's interesting. The kingdom of heaven involves all Christendom, any religious expression, the saved and the unsaved alike, the real and the unreal, the genuine and the false, all includes here these parables, the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 12, we have these accounts of Jesus meeting more and more opposition with the Jewish leaders of the day. Questions on the Sabbath day and healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is actually being accused by the Jewish leadership of having a devil in him, Beelzebub, and Jesus as well. That can't be, because how can a house that's divided against itself stand? And so he has this opposition of the Jewish leaders against himself in Matthew chapter 12. And the end of the chapter, he says, you know, we want a sign. Give us a sign. And Jesus said, there will be no sign given unto you. He calls them an adulterous and wicked generation. Except the only sign I'll give you is that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man must be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And when you see these things, that's you're going to be your sign. And he finishes chapter 12 with who is really Jesus' true kin. Look at verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with them. And one said, Behold, your mother and your brethren are standing without, and they want to talk to you. But he answered unto him and said, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And so this chapter of opposition against Jesus, it says in chapter 13, the very same day he's there, he goes out of the house and he sits by the seashore and he's in a boat and he's preaching all these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven, meaning covering the broad spectrum of the saved and the unsaved alike. That is to say, Jesus is explaining how, as the word is preached, how God's word is shared, it falls on different soils. It has different reactions. It has different expressions. People take it different ways. And it has different results. And so I think Jesus is telling us in chapter 13 with these parables, between my first coming and my second coming, that's how it's going to be. The word is going to be shared, but it's going to have different results among the same people. And it's a picture of Christendom. There's the true and the false. There's the good and the bad. There's the types of soil. And in the parable we want to look at this morning is the wheat and the tares. So, again, it's the audience is a mixed audience. There are those that the word of God is going to take effect in their hearts and it's going to change their hearts. And there are those that are going to hear the word of God and it might have some effect upon them, but in the end, it has no real lasting change. It's a mixed profession. It's a mixed multitude that the audience is. There are those who claim to submit to Jesus. And in Jesus' own words, he said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? And that is the sorry state that the church as a wide, as Christendom has today. And so I think that's why he's bringing this parable here, the wheat and the tares. Notice it follows on the heels of the parable of the soils. The word of God is preached, and it falls on different kinds of soils. They all hear that word, and it's received differently, okay? But now in this parable, there's a little bit of different twist here. He puts forth this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who goes into his field and sows good seed. Now, actually, when the crowds went away, in verse 36, Jesus and his disciples are left alone. And his disciples come to him and says, Now, what does this parable mean? What does all this mean? And so in some of these parables and some of these stories Jesus told, he spells out what exactly everything represents. So let's read what this parable, as Jesus told it. The disciples come to him and said, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So here Jesus spells it right out. Verse 37. He answered and said to them, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus referred to the Son of Man as himself, right? He's identifying with humankind, mankind, the Son of Man. The field is the, help me, the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Jesus actually told us what this parable means. All the actors in this story, he spells out very, very clearly. So I made some observations, my own observations. As I thought about this, I thought, okay, what's it like to live with the tares? We here who sit here this morning have confessed Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. We endeavor to follow him. His word has made effect in our lives. And so we, I think, for the most part, consider ourselves the wheat here this morning. We want to be the grain. We want to be that wholesome grain that's gathered into his garners. And so, how is it living with the tares? Remember the tares, they had two things against them. They are all the things that offend. And the word offend is it means to trap or make you trip up, offend. Okay? It has the idea of the mouse trap, and it's a bait ready to offend somebody. All things that offend. And then them that do iniquity, those are the tares. And so how do we live with the tares? So here's some simple observations that I looked through this parable here. Number one, both are found in the same field. Both are found in the same location. Both are sown in the same field, but they have different farmers. The grain is sown by the Son of Man, Jesus. It's his word that is being sown. But there's another farmer out there, and he's sowing iniquity. He's sowing discord. He's sowing things that offend. It's the dead. Jesus spells it out very clearly. It's the devil. It is the devil. But both are sown in the same field. And I had to think in our day and age. And if you ever wonder why there's such a difference of opinion and doctrine, and how some people can read the same Bible and come out with opposite viewpoints, I think this is one of the reasons. And it's sad to say, and it's really in under the umbrella or the name of the Mennonite Church, we have quite a broad spectrum. Quite a broad. In fact, some people drop the word Mennonite, name Mennonite, because of the acceptance of iniquity. What am I talking about? Went to Mount Nebo Methodist Church for that back to Bible school, or no, how's it called? Back to school, Bible to school program that they want to do down here at Marnik Elementary. The lady that was speaking to us, I asked her, I said, well, you know, they had their doctrinal statement. I said, well, yeah, this is something we could write at Rollinsville. And she said, well, you know, it's pretty primary. But if you sign up as a volunteer in this program, we have some more specific guidelines to sign. And one of them is that boys are boys and girls are girls. And biblical marriage is one man and one life, one woman for life. And I think about this parable. We have grain and we have tares sown in the same field under the same name. The lady went on to tell me that she left. Her and her husband attended a Mennonite church, but left because of their acceptance of the gay agenda. Now, I don't consider transgender and gay issues any more different than self-righteousness or any other sin. I don't look at people like that. But the point of it is, under the same umbrella, under the same name, you have different professions. And for whatever reason, Jesus says they're both sown in the same field. They're both sown in the same field. Number two, both are allowed to mature together. Now, when you plant a crop or you plant a garden, initially, you know, weeds like to grow too. And so what you're trying to cultivate and something the weeds are trying to grow too, some weeds look very, very, very similar. For example, corn. And what's that nasty weed? It grows later when it gets hot and it gets shattercane. Shattercane looks very, very much like corn when it first sprouts. But Jesus says, no. His worker says, all right, should we go through here and pull these out? No, it's going to disturb or uproot or diminish the yield of the grain. So we're going to let them mature together. That kind of goes against the way we farm because we want to control those weeds, don't we? We want to control those weeds. We have a little bit of waterway in our one field on the east side of the lane. And relatively clean. That field is really clean. And in that waterway, we didn't mow it all summer. And guess what? We went around there, Philip and I was picking that open by hand. And ooh-wee, where did those cocklebirds come from? Yeah, I have some cocklebirds in our meadow. And they get carried up into the cow feed, into the steer lot, and the steer lot that gets cleaned out, gets out on the field, and the field, there's no cocklebirds, but in that, there's, where in the world do those cocklebirds come from? We got to mow that waterway. But here Jesus says, both are allowed to mature together. They're growing. One's growing iniquity and one's growing righteousness. Both need to live together. Both need to coexist together. I saw in the paper Robert Clary just passed away. I don't know if you know who Robert Clary was. He was an actor in, he was an actor. But he was 96 years old. He is a Holocaust survivor. He was 16 years old when his family was taken by the Nazis in France. He's the youngest of 14 children. His parents perished, and all but two sisters perished. He survived. He was liberated from the Buchenwald concentration camp when the American soldiers liberated that camp. Never spoke out again, never spoke about the war until about 1980, when there was this communication about, well, maybe the Holocaust wasn't so bad after all. And so he began to speak out about what he and his family experienced. But one of his messages was, I tell people, you don't hate people by the color of their skin, the way their eyes look, and what religious preference they have. We don't hate people who have other religious preferences. And it's sad to say, under Christendom and years passing in history, they have taken, remember when Jesus says to compel them to come in, compel them, go out in the highways and compel them to come in. The Catholic Church in the past has used that as a, to force people to come in. I spent time in Bolivia in South America, and the Inca Indians, the conquistadores came from Spain and conquered these people, but they made sure they got baptized before they executed them, and that kind of thing. You compel them to come in, force conversions. We coexist with other people who differ from us. There's no reason to hate them and to ridicule them. I don't think Jesus treated people who didn't believe like he did, or didn't receive his message, with hate and contempt. But he did warn them that there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. And those that offend and those that mature into or grow iniquity will be thrown into the fire. So both are found in the same field. Both are allowed to mature together. Number three, the grain is able to withstand the competition from the tares. Yeah, in my way of thinking, Jesus, are you really, you know what you're thinking? Are you really a farmer here? I mean, you want to control those weeds. You want to kill those weeds. But Jesus says, no, let the weeds and the grain grow together. And so if he thinks that that's, if that's his directive, then he knows that the grain can survive with the weeds around us. You see, weeds compete, or the grain competes with the weeds for nutrients and moisture and sunlight. You know, weeds, they choke out. And Jesus said, you know, in the parable of the soldiers, he said, the one soil, it grew, and but so did the weeds, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life choked out. But Jesus is saying in here, he says, you know, in Christendom, in this kingdom of heaven spectrum, let both of them grow. The grain is able to withstand the competition. And so I have to think of old Noah of old. Noah, his wife, and how many sons did he have? Three. And each had a wife. They were able to build a boat While the whole rest of the world, all their neighbors, and I, most likely their relatives, they were able to go into that ark. They withstood such pressure. Talk about peer pressure. So the grain is able to withstand the competition from the tares. Weeds give competition. They have their voices out there, and they clamor for our attention. Number four, both are identified in their end. It's at the harvest time that Jesus sends the reapers, the angels, to now take up the tares, gather them up, bind them up, and throw them into the fire, and gather the grain and put it in storage. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." Between the real and the false, you don't always see clearly until the fruition of their harvest comes, you know. And there's a great effort today, as it was in Isaiah's day, to call good evil and evil good, to place sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. There's a great effort today to do that. There's a meshing together of all roads lead to heaven. But in the end, both are identified. Jesus warned us about there are such things as sheep in wolves' clothing. On the outs, you know, on the outside, they're they act like sheep, but they have the character of a wolf. The false and the insincere among the genuine. Number five, both are harvested. Both are harvested. The tares are gathered for the fire, and the grain is gathered in the garner. They're gathered for safekeeping. They're safely kept in the farmer's barn. In this song, when I did farm full-time, I always give to about Thanksgiving time, and we say, "All is gathered safely in there, the winter's wind storms come." I thought, we still got some things out there before these cold winter winds come. But the idea is that they're safely gathered in. The things that are going to freeze, your flowers, your plants, your things you want in, you got them in right already. The squash, the pumpkins, they've been gathered in. They're in safe from the cold winter winds. There's security there. They're gathered in safely. The tares are also gathered for the fire, and the angels can tell the difference. Sometimes, and I think it was P.T. Barnum who ran his circus in the 1800s. He says, you know, you can, how's it go? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. And he made his money, his business on the profession of the circus, but you can't fool Jesus. And his angels are the reapers, and they know the difference between the tare and the grain. Lastly, both are separated. Both are separated. One is destined for the fire. And it says in verse 32 that there's a furnace of a fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't speak to me of annihilation. Because check me out, you English teachers. Trudy, Lenita, is that present perfect tense where it's an ongoing action? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's this thought going around that hell is, yeah, it's a place, but it's you get annihilated and that's it. The Bible does not teach that. It's as long as heaven is long, eternal. They shall be cast in a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Safely gathered in. In our life's pilgrimage, we have many experiences, don't we? We have good experiences. We have bad experiences. We have challenging experiences. We have joyful experiences. We have all these experiences. And sometimes we wonder, oh, how's this going to turn out? Now I'm going to share with you just a little thing. My driver's license was due for renewal, and 6, 7 months ahead of time, the state of Pennsylvania sends out a notice. You got to take your hazmat test, and it has to be done certain days, months before, and I don't enjoy that test. And so, what do you do with things you don't enjoy? You put them off, don't you? You put them off because I don't enjoy studying for it. I don't, but I got to thinking. He said, you know, this hazmat, it makes me aware about how, what I'm doing, what I'm handling. But I don't handle radiation, and I don't handle radioactive material, and I don't handle all this stuff. But you know, it's the intent of it is to make you safe because we're handling dangerous things. And really, this thing's like a chain around my neck. And yesterday morning, I took it and passed it. And you don't know, realize the joy, the just, oh, and now I can just concentrate fully on this message because I didn't have this message ready yesterday morning at all. And I was, you know, things bog us down. Things, Jesus says, the grain can grow along with the tares. And I had to apply that to my life here. And, you know, things that bog me down, things that are got my mind on. You asked my wife, I was a little bit on edge at times, right? Because I was worried. I was like, oh, I just wish this thing was over. Well, you know what? It's kind of like when mom, when you're growing up in your homes, and it's really a good thing to eat the thing you don't like first. Do it and get it done. And, huh. So, what am I saying? The wheat grows with the tares. All right. I don't know what the tares are in your life, but that's how it is. Jesus says they both grow up together, they mature together, but both are harvested. And such a beautiful description here. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. For closing scripture, I invite you to Psalm 1. I'd like to recite that together. You recite it by memory if you need it. Psalm 1. Let's say this psalm together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you are the Lord of harvest, that you can determine and see the difference between the true and the false, and the genuine and the insincere. We thank you for caring for your harvest, for looking for righteousness in your people's lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we experience lives, that living with the tares isn't very pleasant sometimes. But that's how you decreed it to be. There are differing viewpoints and differing doctrines under the same umbrella of Christianity. So help us to walk with you carefully, open our eyes to the truth of your word, that it might be fruitful in our hearts, in our talk, in our work, and in our play, and our raising our families, in whatever area that you have called us to be and do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.